How many of you are first-timers here at this meetup? Quite a few. Okay, so not so many people will be bored with this slide because we talk about them every time. So I just want to iterate why fast, right? Because it's not always obvious. It wasn't obvious for me when I started to doing it again. And I think it's mind-blowing. The truth is mind-blowing, right? So first of all, it's obvious. It's user experience, right? You really want your users to enjoy your brand. You enjoy what they, when they look at your site, they want, you want them to enjoy it, because otherwise they'll remember you as a slow website provider, right? Which is not that good. But there is another reason, a very good one, very practical reason. It's money. Luckily, a few companies, big companies, were able to really measure their efforts on how they improve the performance and bring the numbers forward. If you didn't see this, if you saw this slide before, I keep updating it with new data, although in the last, the previous meetup it was the same numbers, I'm sorry. But these are relatively new, I mean, updated numbers, they're not that new. Actually, ShopZilla numbers are from last year, but ShopZilla is a website that helps people buy stuff, right? So when you search in Google, you go and see, they give you better suggestions, and then you go and buy, so they get the cut, like referral program, right? So after the performance optimization, they had 7 to 12% up, not page views, conversions, meaning people buying through them, them making money. So 7 to 12% up on money. Right, I think that's more than enough to pay for any of these efforts, right? In their budgets, for sure. But if you think of this is direct sales, you know, like money-related business. But if you think of your business, if you are another field, numbers are that impressive. So it's important. Moreover, they did employ a few techniques that reduced the load on the servers by 50%. So they were able to cut 50% of their operations cost, network, hardware, and so on, which by itself is also a lot of money, right? So you can grow twice as big with the same hardware. If you don't want to cut your hardware costs, obviously, you can grow twice as big. You know, Firefox was also like doing, you know, they, when they release new version, it's a big marketing campaign. They need to get as much as possible out of that effort in a very short period of time, as many marketing efforts probably have the similar goals, right? So they increased downloads by 15%. For them, it was 60 million downloads, right? It's, if you can call it conversions, for them it is a conversion, right? And 1 second of improvement gave them 2.7% increase in downloads, right? Just 1 second. It is a lot, but most of the sites are way above that, and they have enough of those seconds to cut off, right? Another interesting news from, actually again, last year, Google and Microsoft did a research where they proven that slowness is sticky. So what they did, they slowed down their sites on purpose, right? They introduced some delay in serving users. And they measured how, what the their metrics, like in their case, I think it was, I don't remember. I think it's searches per person or something, or pages per visit. I forgot what the metric was. There's some business metric that was important for them, right? And it obviously went down, right? I mean, it should be obvious to you by now. You know. But the problem is, when they removed the slowness, those people who were who participated, right? They were randomly picking. It's not for everybody, right? They were randomly picking some users. They didn't go back up to the previous level for a while. I think they tested for 4 more weeks after the end of the slowness, and people didn't go back to the amount of usage that they had before the experiment, right? So every second you spend with slow site affects your users permanently. You're damaging them. They don't like to use your site that much anymore. right? And it doesn't go away that easily. You need to really build it up, like you build your brand, right? You need to really make them feel that your site is fast, and just making it faster. They need to get used to that, right? If it's slow, you are doing something bad. And another thing, not so recently anymore announced, but a very big one. Google is counting website's performance as part of their ranking for your page. So if there are two pages that rank the same, otherwise the faster page will be above the other one, the slower, right? The faster will be above the slower one, right? And I think if you have a search engine optimization budget, which many companies have in relatively high abundance, you can use those money to optimize your website for performance. Actually, Shopzilla did some experiments. In the very same research, they did some measurements for how much traffic they got, and they got more traffic even on paid search for the very same money, because people don't leave. People actually hit the page. It's very likely that Google also, Google actually favors the faster sites in terms of how much you pay for the advertising as well.
Sergey, do you know how, like, the algorithm, to, like, what extent, like, a faster site is going to...
Absolutely.
It's going to jump up in the rankings compared to a site that ranks a little bit slower than it?
Absolutely. The faster site goes higher. Just kidding. Obviously, Google will not tell me. Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm kidding. but they will never tell you. Yeah, sure. But it is counted into performance. It's a very big thing for them, performance itself. It's not like they want to improve search this way only. They want to promote performance as well. That's why they do that. Really, you know, their efforts are much bigger than that. But this is the one that is very dear to the hearts of business people, right? So that's why they did it. Okay, a few things to convince you. So this is a waterfall diagram, which actually ends way down on the first floor. This page took 88 requests to load, and the whole page loaded in 6.3 seconds, which is not terribly bad, considering that the backend request took 1 second, right? That first HTML that you download, took almost a second, right? If you think of it, it's only 15% of all the time spent for the page, right? So only 15% are those servers doing the hard job of doing the databases, like running your PHP or whatever, Ruby or whatever. Only 15% is that time, and the rest is actually all those static files, which we don't worry about, right? All we need is just the pipe and all of that, right? So why are we so fixated on load testing, right? Why are we so fixated on improving backend performance? I mean, I think we worked hard for last 15 years and did very good job in improving that. So it's time to look at the 85%, because if you save some of those 85%, you will get much better improvement. Now, 15% is not the smallest number. For some sites that did particularly good job in backend optimization, and it is a real number. I'm not cutting out. Like 100 milliseconds for the first request, it's a real number measured by webpagetest.org. I'm not faking it, right? The time to unload event, not to full load, but to unload event is 6 seconds, which makes it only 2% on the backend. Guys, it's not even funny. 2% on the backend. Why are we looking at the backend at all? I mean, yeah, obviously those guys looked at the backend a lot and fixed a lot of stuff, so it works very well, but I think it's a very good time to actually think of front-end improvement. And those 150 requests, that's a lot of requests, right? So let me give you some statistics, very fresh numbers, just published by Andrew King from websiteoptimization.com. page size, average page size, went five times higher than 6 years ago. 5 times. 500K. And amount of objects doubled. So we are only digging our grave with this thing, right? If you look at the historical data, 95 is over here, and this is the comparing to 95 is just not funny because like 30 times bigger pages, 30 times more requests. But you can see that it's a very dangerous curve, right? If we keep going that way, we are going to have enormously big pages. While physics don't change, our network channels and computers don't become that dramatically faster anymore, right? Some statistics from Patrick Meenan from webpagetest.org that he published, he analyzed pages that were tracked by webpagetest.org a year ago and now, and he compared how much faster or slower they became. They became only slower. Nothing improved. Everything became slower. Half a second was added to the load time, 100 milliseconds to time to first byte, and stuff like that, right? Page size went 50 kilobytes in 1 year. 1 year, right? And stuff like that. So we are in a very, we are going in a very bad direction. The good thing is that people like us start to think what to do here, right? And recently there are a few trends that, you know, I mean, we are thinking about it for a while, right? But there are a few trends that are easier to implement, to follow and implement. Like, for example, progressive rendering is a great one, right? Start thinking about how your page loads, right? You don't need to, all of that to load to provide something meaningful to user. First of all, you probably don't need all of that to load at all, but that's sort of obvious. But the progressive rendering helps you load as page progresses, right? Improve performance as page loads and let people see stuff before and use your websites before all of those megabytes, gigabytes are downloaded. Same thing for JavaScript load and widgets. We had a session, last session was about third-party content, which was exclusively about the second line, you know. But I think some big vendors start to think about it, some good best practices and trends are formed around how to do that, how to load data in JavaScript specifically in a fast way, right? So JavaScript, loading JavaScript asynchronously and other things. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have time to repeat the last session, but it was very good at least. I enjoyed it tremendously. You know, there are other things that take forever to implement, but people start to think, people like Google, for example, start to think about it, about underlying protocols of internet, right? What's wrong with TCP/IP? I don't want to go too deeply into it, but there are ways to improve. There are inherent problems in TCP/IP that don't help our websites anymore. Like, for example, if you have bandwidth higher than 2,500 kilobits, right? Then your pages are not loading faster. I mean, just don't load faster. There was a good research by Mike Belcher from Google and a couple other people, I'm sorry. So there are ways to improve that by just tuning, but also they're looking at the replacements for HTTP, like SPDUI, for example, which solving some particular problems. So they work on a like deeper level to changing like web infrastructure. I think there are a couple other protocols that were very interesting. In addition to that, tools became much better. And a lot of vendors coming into market and building tools, and I think there's a lot of useful things that you can do with to analyze your performance, right? And tool standardization is coming about. You know, for example, HTTP archive format to save that waterfall diagram that I showed you, to save how you like in the, I'm sorry, save that experience into the file so you can analyze it later. You use it by different tools and all of that. It's a pretty big initiative, and it's very successful. It's very useful, you know. So tool standardization is coming about, and I think it's pretty interesting. So there are quite a few tools, but I wanted to show you some of them, those that survived the battle of businesses, the new ones, and so on. So Dynatrace, which we have a talk about today, it's a new upcoming tool, and you'll talk more than I about it. Firebug is getting some performance features added to it, even more, like some events shown right on the NetPal. How many of you use Firebug? Okay. So yeah, Firebug by itself, by default, becomes a little bit better into helping you analyze performance. NetExpert extension is actually the extension that produces those HAR, basically dumps your net panel into a file, right? Which is very useful. You can there is actually a HTML application to help you see it right on the web page after you did it. By Honza Advarko, who is actually one of the developers of Firebug. So he's proponent of HAR format. I think he created the HAR format, right? Originally, is he? Or at least participated in it very heavily, like adopting it from HTTP Watch and stuff like that. YSLOW is still there, first and one of the best tools, pretty solid tool. Very, you know, business-like and so on. Google's PageSpeed is getting a lot of development, and Google is paying a lot of attention to it. My favorite webpage, test.org, because I can just type in the URL from even my iPad and it will work, right? And business people love it because you just type it in and it tells you the story. Developers love it even more because they type it in and just send the link to their business people. So it's a very good tool for hands-on like testing. You just pass it around and stuff like that. HTTP Watch, one of the oldest commercial survived tools, I should say, still in the market. Those first four were actually presented at Velocity in the tool demos and brought a lot of interesting stuff. Surprisingly enough, Fiddler, Google PageSpeed, Speed Tracer, and Dynatrace, I think, commercial solutions, they start to look into overall picture, because some of these tools were like only front end, but some of these tools start to talk through to the back end, like where stuff originates from and all that. So I think in this year we'll have more of that surfaced as well. On the bottom I have a couple of tools, like assortment of tools, right? SpriteMe. How many of you know the SpriteMe tool by Steve Souders? Some of you. So, how many of you know what CSS sprites are? Okay. So, CSS sprites are a very good tool to minimize the amount of images. So, all the background images that you have, not all, but many of them can be combined, so you don't request every single one, and for icons and many other things. Because usually those background images are relatively small, and requests are just wasting your resources, right? So, SpriteMe is a web-based tool. It's actually bookmarklet even. You can just click it on your browser and it will show you which images you can combine. And when you click a button, it actually combines them for you as well. I mean, there's some work to do that to really install it on your server and all of that, but in reality, it's a very, very interesting tool, very, very useful tool. BrowserScope is is sort of a service by Google that collects tests and tracks like what browsers can do, right? How many connections every browser can make to the server, which parallel downloading it allows, compression, whatever, right? But they also introduced new tests that you can write your test and run it. And all your users will automatically send the results of those tests from their real browsers, right, to this BrowserScope server and collect that information. So you can actually see which browsers support what, right? So you can actually know what to optimize instead of, in some cases, this knowledge is very rumorish, right? People don't really know if compression is supported in the latest browsers or if how many connections actually support it. And this tool is, like, I mean, they're doing pretty good job in this debunking the myths, I should say. So, and you can help by writing your tests. You can help yourself, first of all, if you have a problem, right? Steve Souders is gazillion if you want to play around with, oh, what's better to do script above another script or image or inline CSS, whatever. It's a very good hands-on tool. And I know a few projects that work on a better tool, like to really play on your own site, right? So you can actually figure out what will happen if my banners are slower, right, or stuff like that. They are not ready yet, as far as I know. I can't miss the Show Slow project because I am the author of it, and it allows you to collect information from every tool on the left column over here, first four, right? We can track it over time, so you know when your stuff changes. Sorry for the commercial interruption here. JTmetric is another tool. ShowSlow is open source, but JTmetric is not open source, but it's another pretty cool looking tool that does some of it. I think it collects HAR and YSlow page speed ranking as well. They did a much better job at making it look good. So there are many tools, right? And if you think of some problem that those tools are not solving, first of all, talk to those developers. And given the use case, they will be happy to help you, right? Because that's what they're for. Moreover, I think some of them are allow you extending the tools, extending the functionality for plugins or whatever. Think maybe you can write something like that. Let's figure out how we actually know what's going on to solve our problems.